The information presented is for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are not necessarily the opinions of any Daikin company. This information should not be confused for accounting, legal, medical, or other professional advice. Please seek advice from a qualified professional for any specific questions.
Welcome to the Accelerated HVAC Success Program. My name is Ben Middleton. I'm the National Sales Training Manager for the Goodman, Amana, and Daikin brands. Today, we're joined with Kent Rassler. He is a business expert and a consultant within the HVAC industry. Kent, thank you so much for joining us here today. Before we get started, I ask all of our guests this. How in the world did you get into the HVAC industry?
That's a great question. I've been asked that a lot. Been in this industry all my life. So, I mean, that's where it's all started. And really, you've had many opportunities. I've worked on both sides, worked on the contracting side for years. Then I went into the consulting side for almost 15 years. And then I went into the distribution side. So I've been on the distribution side for about the last 7-8 years and then left there and thought I was going to retire. And then the HVAC bug just bit me back. So I got back in, and you and I have known each other for several years.
Yes.
So got a call from you and said, let's talk, and here we are. So I've always enjoyed it. I know you have too, helping contractors, and we see so many of them struggle, but yet we see so many of them doing so well. So finding that niche that makes the ones do better, why can't we convey that to everyone? That's the challenge that I always see.
So it feels like to me that today the HVAC industry is almost in this transitional stage, and maybe it's always been there. But one of the things that I see is there's a lot of people that are maybe looking for an exit strategy, looking to retire, looking to hand it off to a younger generation to be able to take on that legacy. And
yes.
So today we're going to talk about exit strategies a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then we'll also talk a little bit about pricing, positioning, and promotion of product. But the first question that I have to ask you, so can you talk a little bit about what is the first step in a business exit and succession planning?
Sure. It really encompasses several things, but to answer your question specifically, I talk to a lot of owners, and I think they really start the process and try to move it along too fast. Because the biggest question of all is, why do you want to sell? And what it's motivating you. And that's really the key. They've got to really do some soul searching. You know, was it a bad day at the office? Was it a bad month on the P&L? What is it really that's motivating you and makes you want to sell? And, you know, it does involve a lot of soul searching. And I really ask them seriously to get into listing out 3, 4, 5 things of why they want to sell. And then even going further and putting them in a priority. So that's truly the key. And then when you look at that, they've also got to determine, you know, how far have they planned in the process? Is this just the beginning, or have they been thinking about this for several years? And most of them that seem to do well at the end of the day when it does sell, they have planned it out. They have worked through these processes. And that's what I think most of the contractors have to do. Is it's not something they need to wake up and say, I want to sell the company today. It is a long plan. And then the second thing that's even as challenging, if not more, is really what's retirement going to look like to you?
Yeah.
And that's probably what you're going to ask me. Yeah,
yes.
I got ahead of myself.
That's okay.
But anyway, you know, what does retirement look like? And I can answer that firsthand. For the first couple of years, it was good. But then it gets to be where you want to do something more. So that's where the dealer, the contractor, has to really do more soul searching and ask themselves, you know, what's retirement going to be? You know, and kind of combining both of those together, is it financial objectives? Is that why you want to retire? Is that how your retirement's going to look? Is it family? Is it hobbies? So that's really the top two things that really they've got to get to thinking about.
What was your exit strategy, or what was your succession planning that you put in place?
Well, it's interesting you ask that, because once I made the plan to do that, I helped my wife write a succession plan for her company. She owns a company and she's a contractor for Shell. And she, as I, getting up in the age to where they wanted a succession plan and they wanted to know what her plan was. So that not only helped her, it also helped me refine mine. And, you know, family, I think, is obviously the number one for me anyway. And just to kind of ease into it, if you will.
So I do think there's a lot of people, there's lots of contractors I've spoken to that have been in this industry for 30, 40, 50 years, running their business and doing a great job with what they're doing. But sometimes people work really, really hard all the way up to the point of retirement, and they're hoping to get one thing for their company, and then there's a stark reality that hits them of what people are willing to pay.
Right.
So how do you actually value a company? What do you do to determine the value?
Well, and that's a great question, because that's where you really have to start asking some hard questions, you know, of what a company, the owner thinks a company is worth and what it's actually worth. It takes a lot of documentation. And I always say, you know, what's your financials look like? How clean are they? How accurate are they? Are they departmentalized? You know, if I'm buying a company, I want to know, is the service company making money, or is the installation department covering the service department? So that's really the first step in making sure they've got clean and they've got accurate financials. That's the first step for them.
And then after you got your financials, what's the next step as far as getting the valuation of your company?
Well, there's several things to look at. Obviously, net profit drives the biggest decision of it all. But then there's another decision that's made. You know, how long have you been in business? What's your turnover rate? Are you able to find people? Are you to keep people, retain people? What's your energy savings agreement base? What's your customer base? Is it something that you retain with a high renewal rate? Or is it something that come in the door and out the door? Because as you know and I know, not everybody buys an air conditioner every year. So we have to keep the business that we get. And so those are key pieces to what we look for.
I think it's very insightful. You talked about what do you want to get out of retirement, because I was talking with one contractor not too long ago, and he was saying, you know, we started thinking about it, and so we know that we have this much net profitability a year, and in his particular case, their net profitability that they had was a couple $100,000 every year that they had coming in, and he wasn't spending all of that, but when by the time he took his salary and then all of his other business perks and everything else that you could take out of the benefits of owning a business, they were probably living off of an income of, you know, $500,000 a year.
Sure.
When they talked to a financial planner, the financial planner said a good strategy is you only spend 4% of your principal that you have every year.
It's interesting, yes.
And so he started doing the math. He said, well, it's great. Somebody's coming and they're offering me $10 million for my company. But that $10 million means I'm going to have to take a hit to my lifestyle.
Yes.
And so I think that is so important to consider, you know, what is your lifestyle going to look like, and what are you, even when you do sell the business, going to be able to do? So who is needed in order to complete this exit plan? What people do you need to get involved?
And just to tag one more comment on what you just said was, most of the owners, they look at their salary, but they don't realize the other things that go involved with it. The insurance, the vehicles, all the other things that go into say. So you're spot on when you say that. But whenever you look at other people involved, and this is an ongoing process, you know, I can't reiterate enough about it can't be done in a week. It can't be done in a month. It's got to be thought through. And, you know, financial planner is one that should have been in the early stages of this. Then you've got to look at your CPA, the financial side of things, then the legalities. Then how are you going to set it up? Do you want to get paid up front? Do you want to finance part of it? So there's going to be a lot of legal people involved with it too. And then, you know, profitability. You know, have you maximized the profits in those departments to really make, to show a good value. Mm. And if not, it may be taking some time to get that going and maximizing your profitability.
So if you were consulting with a contractor today, how would you say they should get started with an exit plan?
Well, I would still go back to the top ones that I mentioned. Number one, really be true to yourself on why you want to sell the company. And that involves soul searching, as I mentioned. Number two, really define what retirement's going to look like. You have to really be ready. Mm-hmm. And then number three, you've got to get into the accurate financials. You've got to get them clean. And you, that way you begin to know what the value of your company is. So that's really the steps. And it involves a timeline, putting it together in a timeline. When do you want it to happen? And then kind of back into it from there.
So to completely switch gears, and mm-hmm. we'll come back to the exit strategy in a little mm-hmm. bit, but we're going to switch gears here completely. Mm-hmm. We've got a great course that's coming up for contractors today, and maybe this is, you would even think this is pre-exit strategy, really getting a plan together for your business. And we're talking sure. about the three P's, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's the positioning of the products that you sell, it's the pricing of the products that you sell, and it's the promotion of the products that you sell.
Right.
So when we start to talk about those three things in getting our stuff together, can you give me an overview? And let's start off with that positioning of products.
Sure. Yeah, and I think, too, when we say the three P's, I think sometimes the positioning is more important at the contractor level mm-hmm. for them to position their company. And we'll talk a minute about what product they sell or what service they sell, but they first have to really position their company in the right way. Mm-hmm. You know, we all make the analogies of the car industry.
Yeah.
We make the analogies of the airline industry. You know, are you going to be the low-cost provider or are you going to be the top of the line? And that's really the conversations I have with the contractor first. They have to be able to position their company. And what that means really is, how do they build their own identity? And how do they build themselves to be unique? I always ask them, tell me why I want to do business with you. What makes you unique? Mm-hmm. And they have to do soul searching there too, because they've got to find things that is not the same with every competitor in town. Then is when the product and the service comes into play. They do the same thing with the product and service. They have to position it in a way to where it is unique. And the service call that comes into their office, it's got to be something different than me picking up the phone and calling 10 other contractors.
Right.
So that's key in the positioning world. And then in the pricing world, I think it comes down to really, you have to understand what the competition is doing. And for most contractors, it's very challenging to be able to balance profitability and customer perception. Hmm. So if they go back and build their uniqueness, really identify their true identity, then the pricing is a little bit easier for them to overcome to be profitable. Because I don't want them to price themselves where they're priced like everybody else in town. I want them to be priced at their value, at their worth. So I think that's the key component to those two.
And then when we move into the promotion mm-hmm. of the product that you sell, you know, how does a contractor get their messaging out today?
You know, it's very challenging in today's world. And one of the things that, you know, that we talk about in the positioning, and not to drill down real deep, but one of the things we should say there is they have to identify their market. So now when they can identify their market and target that market, then it helps us with promotion much easier. If we're going after an older age group, we're going to market one way. If we're going after a younger age group, we're going to market a different way. So that part is really key when we talk about positioning, identifying that target audience. Mm-hmm. Then when you get into the marketing side or the promotional side, it can be a lot of different avenues, a lot of different channels of marketing. I think, you know, social media is certainly top of the line right now. But then when you look at social media, there's so many drill downs to it to get to different platforms that's targeting different age groups and different demographics. So that's key for them to understand that. And I don't think we should let go of the fact face-to-face marketing. You know, because if you take a successful contractor that's running service calls, that's installing new equipment, that's running a lot of maintenance calls, that's the best identity he has in front of that customer, is to market and promote himself, but also promote other products and services that he has. So that's face-to-face. I think digital marketing has to be in there above that. Even the print media in some markets works well, but again, it's based on the target audience.
Sure. And I think that's so important, is building that persona, figuring out, you know, it's been said many, many times, there's the old story of the farmer taking their cow to market, and you can't please everyone.
No.
And so you have to really identify who your target audience is, mm-hmm. in order to come up with a plan on, and that really drives everything, right? That drives, yes. your product positioning. It drives your pricing strategy. Mm-hmm. It drives how you're going to talk to them about what you're doing. But until you have identified who your ultimate customer is, and this is the one thing that I've talked to contractors years and years and years about. We could have 10 contractors in the same marketplace. They may very rarely see each other because they're each targeting a different type of customer.
Mm-hmm.
And some do it intentionally. Some do it completely unintentionally, but it does happen. You build a business that's going to attract a certain type of customer.
Yes, yes. And along those marketing lines, I think one thing that we overlook sometimes is that dominant market share position.
Yeah.
We try to get to be all things to all people, and it's very difficult to do that.
Right.
You know, you've got labor issues, finding people. You've got cost running the vehicle up and down the road. So it's backing up to identifying your market and then concentrating on identifying that market, but then concentrating on creating a dominant market share position. And that's key. Very
key.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Ken, thank you so much for joining us here. I really appreciate you coming in here and being here. And for all of those that are out there, please, if you liked this episode, please go ahead and like it. Also, I would encourage you to follow us so you can be informed of all of the other upcoming episodes that we're going to have here on the Accelerate HVAC Success Program. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it.
Yep.